Shining City Audio, a John Meacham and C-13 original studio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
February 8th, 1968. The Orangeburg, South Carolina massacre takes place. I'm John Meacham, and this is Reflections History. It was the kind of thing we associate with Reconstruction, with ages past. And yet it happened in the United States in the same year Apollo 8 orbited the moon. On this date in 1968, nonviolent demonstrators protesting the persistence of racial segregation in Orangeburg, South Carolina, were the victims of shotgun blasts fired by highway patrolmen. 27 were wounded. 3 were killed. Their names were Henry Smith, Samuel Hammond, and Delano Middleton. 2 of them, Smith and Hammond, were students at South Carolina State College. They and others were standing against the denial of service to a black veteran of the Vietnam War at a local bowling alley, the All-Star Bowling Lanes. Cleveland Sellers of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee was there in Orangeburg that night. Here is how Sellers recalled the events in an interview with Democracy Now. I can almost remember that period of time as if it were today. It was a cold night on February 8, 1968. This was the fourth day of activities around the effort to desegregate the bowling alley, and we're talking about 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. The students had built a bonfire to keep themselves warm and just build morale. They were trying to work out some strategy. What should they do next? Should they go back to the bowling alley where they had been arrested on Tuesday night? Should they go to the city hall? Should they go to the state capitol? And they thought that they were in an area that was pretty safe and secure, and they never expected the police to open fire. And it so happened that the law enforcement decided to put the bonfire out. So they sent in firemen escorted by National Guardsmen, and they put the fire out. And apparently during that time, an officer got hit in the head with a piece of wood, I suspect it was. That's what they said it was. And that was probably about 10 or 15 minutes after that. It was just the darkness turned to light as the police opened fire. 9 highway patrolmen and 1 local police officer firing rifles and shotguns and pistols. It was a shock to many of the students that there were no bullhorns, no whistles, no anything that indicated that this kind of extremely lethal action would be taken on these students. And the numbers that were actually wounded go much higher than the 30. Many of the students chose not to go to the hospital, and so their injuries weren't recorded. But it also had an impact, making more victims on other students who were there on the campus and actually witnessed what had gone on. Certainly the parents of those students who didn't know what was going on were notified that there had been a shooting and several students killed. It was just chaos at that point. It was just a clear case of the police opening fire without any provocation. There was no exchange of gunfire. The students were unarmed. And what precipitated it was the fact that the students on that Monday night went down to the bowling alley and tried to bowl. And on Tuesday night when they went down, they were arrested. And at that point, the state had kind of in mind a kind of watch riot, and so they began to gear up. And on the night of February the 8th, it probably was 300 law enforcement officers in Orangeburg, and that included the FBI and Army Intelligence and the National Guards, the local and state police. So recalled Cleveland Sellers. Thank you for listening to Reflections of History, a creation of Shining City Audio, a C13 Originals and John Meacham studio. Reflections of History is executive produced by me, John Meacham, and Chris Corcoran, Chief Content Officer and founding partner of Cadence 13. Production and editing led by Lloyd Lockridge, Margot Gray, and Chris Basil. Production assistance by Andy Jaskowitz and Adam Macias. Cadence 13 is an Odyssey company.
Hey fam, it's Darren from Push Black with exciting news. Season 8 of Black History Year drops this April. Join us as we take a deep dive into history, challenging the narratives you thought were set in stone, and exposing hidden insights that could activate revolutionary change. This season, we're looking at cultural reclamation and asking, how has our connection to Black culture been corrupted, and what actions can we take to break free? Now, it's a loaded question with answers that'll make you rethink everything, so don't miss out. Tune in to Black History Year. Listen and follow on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.